Good morning. Glad you're here this morning. God's word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. Today we're going to take a look at James chapter 5, verses 7 through 12. And James is reminding this core of believers that have been spread out because of persecution that God is not blind to their oppression at the hands of the rich. And God is still calling them to be faithful. And God says, here's how you should respond in faithfulness. You should respond by being patient in your suffering. So let's stand, if you will, to honor the word of God as the word is read. James chapter 5, beginning with verse 7. Be patient, therefore, brothers and sisters, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. But above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, either by heaven or by earth or by any other oath, but let your yes be yes, and your no be no, so that you may not fall under condemnation. This is the word of the Lord. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and live by it. Please be seated. Well, here's James's admonition to those who are going through some persecution, some suffering in the name of Christ. He says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. And be patient here means stay the course. Keep doing what's right. Don't lash out. Don't get nasty. Don't get all worked up inside. God wants you to be patient so that you have a heart that rests and trusts God. They might have asked, how long do you want us to be patient? And James says, be patient until the coming of the Lord. The word for coming here is parousia, which refers primarily to Christ's second coming, and it literally means until Christ is present with you and you experience his appearing. So we are to live patiently until King Jesus appears. And then James gets practical, as he always does, and he uses three illustrations of what patience might look like. He begins with Doug Ramsey. He says, farming is an illustration of what patience looks like. You see, farming was the profession of the day. Farming demanded patience. You have to sow the seed and then wait on the seeds that are sown to produce the crop. James says the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. But a patient farmer is not a farmer who does nothing, because the farmer understands what he can do and what he can't do. A farmer can prepare the ground. A farmer can sow the seed. But the two things that the farmer has absolutely no say in, or whether it happens, is the rain. The farmer waits patiently, James says, for the early rain and the late rain. The rain in November and the rain in March or April. And that rain, combined with the ground and the seed, allows the produce to grow. So the farmer does all of his plowing and sowing, trusting that the rainy seasons will come and the harvest is going to be fine. Verse 8, James says, be patient and stand firm. This is how we are supposed to wait until the King appears. Believers, do what God expects you to do, and then trust God, like the farmer, for the impossible, for what only God can do. You take care of the sowing of the seed, and let Almighty God take care of the watering of the ground. So being patient doesn't mean being passive as you go through a trial or a difficulty. The word here is stand firm. Strengthen your resolve in those moments of difficulty to follow Jesus. Regardless of what life is throwing at you. Because if your heart is weak, or if you have an anemic relationship with the Lord, you're not going to do very well when the trials show up. If you are going through a trial, God wants you to handle it from the position of a righteous heart, not from a position of a Christian throwing a temper tantrum. In verse 9, James says, don't complain, brethren, against one another. Now, he's making an important shift here. He shifts to address interpersonal relationships within the church. James is saying, when you go through a trial, when you go through a difficulty, watch what you say with your mouth. And the word picture here is this. Grumbling and murmuring against one another. Getting annoyed with brothers and sisters. Okay, I'm going to sit down, Charlie, and you can finish this sermon, all right? Somebody is listening. Hallelujah. And here's what James says. If you grumble and you murmur and you're annoyed with your brothers and sisters and you extend them impatience, the judge is standing right at the door. And the judge is God. And God sees you and he hears you. And he will hold wrongdoers accountable. So the farmer is the first example of patience. The second example is to think back to the Old Testament prophets. And James says, let the Old Testament prophets be a pattern for you. Let them be a model to you of not only waiting, but they were witnessing while they were waiting for the Lord. James says, so take a good look at Jeremiah. Look at the things that he experienced and he endured. He was put in a pit. He was put in a stockade. They threw rocks at him. Think about Elijah. Jezebel and Ahab came after him. How about Daniel? God was with him right there in the lion's den. Look at the prophets and see how they continued to speak the name of the Lord, even when they were being treated unfairly and wrongly. James says, when we look at the prophets, we count them as an example of how we are to deal with suffering as we are patient before God, staying the course and talking about the Lord. The third example that James uses in this passage is Job. Job. He says, you have the endurance of Job, and you've seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and the Lord is merciful. A whole series of unfortunate events comes upon Job almost all at one time. And it tests his faith. It tests his faithfulness. The Bible says Satan told God, you know what? Job is only following you because of all the stuff that he has, all the good stuff that you give him. If you take away that stuff and you curse Job, Job will not remain true. But he does. Job experiences God in the depths of his soul. And Job remains true. He never gets an answer from God as to why all this unfortunate stuff happens. But Job even endures the mistreatment of his friends who give him bad advice and have a bad perspective. But James says, Job stays the course. At the end of it all, God restores Job's fortune and blesses him beyond measure. And James says, that's what God's going to do for you, because the Lord is full of compassion and the Lord is merciful. And then James ends this section by saying, above all, my brethren, don't swear by heaven, don't swear by the earth or by any oath, but let your yes be yes, let your no be no, so that you may not fall under judgment. James is saying, continue to act with integrity. In your suffering, act with integrity. Continue to seek the Lord and do what's right in his eyes. And let your yes be yes and your no be no. Now, these are echoes of Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. And basically what James is saying, when you say that you're going to do something, do it. When you say no, you're not going to do something, don't do it. Be a person of the word. Be clear. Be clear. So as you go about life and you deal with difficulty, keep doing what is right in the Lord's sight. Live with integrity. Be patient. Persevere. Watch your spirit. Guard your tongue. And you will be a person who does right in the sight of the Lord. How many of you are patient 100% of the time? How many of you have ever experienced impatience? Maybe you're impatient now. Maybe you got somewhere to go and you're impatient. Impatience can become part of our Christian lives. And so often when things go wrong, when they don't go right, the wisdom of James asks, So check it out and see what's going on inside of you. Because James's primary advice is to be patient. We know from the New Testament that patience is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. If we have a patient heart, it's going to be because our heart is filled with God's truth. We have a patient soul that waits on God to make all things right. When you squeeze a lemon, what do you get? Whatever's inside. And when you squeeze a Christian, what do you get? Whatever is inside. So it's as if James is saying, when you get squeezed by life's suffering, by life's pain, by life's trials, what's going to come out? What's going to come out is what is inside. I am convinced that we cannot have patience by our own effort. In the midst of trials and difficulties, we can only have patience when the Holy Spirit brings truth to our hearts and we walk in the fruit of God's truth and we walk in patience, which is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So stay with me. From the beginning, God has placed upon us expectations for righteous living. God created Adam and Eve, and God placed them in the Garden of Eden, and he gave them and everything that he created. He gave Adam and Eve and all of the animals, he gave them each a purpose. But Adam and Eve broke out of that purpose to fulfill a desire. It was a desire in their heart. Once the serpent approached them, their desire became to be like God. Because God had said, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden but one. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of that, you will surely die. And Adam and Eve broke the only do not command that existed. And then they hid and they became afraid of God. God did not remove the rule to excuse their obedience. God didn't say, well, I see you screwed up this time. I see that you were deceived, so let's let it go. Just don't let it happen again. God didn't say that. God held on to that expectation. He had an expectation for the way that Adam and Eve were going to live. And God banished them, and he drove them out of the Garden of Eden because of one sin. One sin! God set the tone for sin. Sin is never to be tolerated. It is never to be excused. So the expectation for each man and each woman is to walk in righteousness because that was not removed. And look how their disobedience affected God. Genesis 6, 5 and 6 says, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. You need to see God's expectations to more fully understand how the Father wants to demonstrate his love to you in the form of patience. Is God patient with you? Do you believe that God is patient with you? Do you know God that well in the midst of pain and suffering to know that God is patient with you? God's heart towards sin has not changed, but his expectation for righteousness has been met, and not by you. So we have this righteousness gap. We have fallen. We have sinned, just like Adam and Eve. And there's still a standard that God holds on to. And he says, I still expect you. I still expect you to live at this level. Now, his righteousness expectation has been met. But it can't be met by you or I. Because man has never been able to be righteous by his own efforts. So Christ became our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in Jesus we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became our righteousness. God's patience toward us found a perfect way to maintain God's holiness and to have a relationship with us. God's patience with us is based on Jesus' obedience. For it is by Christ's obedience through his death and resurrection that we are made righteous. God did not compromise his holiness. The righteous standard for our living has not been lowered. It has been met by Christ himself. And Christ came to take upon himself the standard that was ours to bear. God looked at our inability to meet that standard. And in his patient love, Jesus stood in our place. He became our sin to be punished and die under the law. And he was then raised to life and is seated at the right hand of God. Jesus did what we could not do. He lived in perfect obedience to the Father. Jesus became our obedience, and now his righteousness is ours. God's name is the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness, once he comes into our lives, breaks our anxiety and gives us patience because we no longer struggle in our own power to be acceptable to God. You see, righteousness is the foundation of God's love for us. God established his patience, not in our obedience or our performance. He established his patience toward us in Christ. Now, God can walk with us patiently in our immaturity. God can walk with us patiently, even in our sinfulness, because we are covered by Christ's righteousness. God has set the standard and met the standard in Christ. And so now we can come to God. We don't have to worry whether we're measuring up. We don't have to climb a ladder somewhere and play chutes and ladders. I messed up, I'm trying harder. I messed up, I'm trying harder. We no longer have to struggle in our own power to be acceptable to God. And this is the foundation of God's love for us. God's patience toward us has been established, not in our obedience and performance, but in Christ's obedience. God can now walk with us when we're immature, when we mess up, when we're in pain and we cry out and we hit him on the chest. We are covered by Christ's righteousness. Your journey as a Christian is not to become righteous through your own efforts. You don't have to impress God. Instead, your journey and mine is to mature in the righteousness of Christ. Our journey is to mature in our identity in Jesus. And that's what's missing when people become impatient. We become impatient with ourselves. We become impatient with other people. Will you let that good news sink in? Our following Christ looks something like this. It doesn't look like this. It looks like this. Because we have to experience God's patience with us and His love. Every time we take a dip, or we're going to take a dip, and we say, I got to pull myself up on my own bootstraps. I got to look good for God. If I'm going to deserve what God has for me, then I've got to perform and I've got to earn it. That's not the good news. You will always fall short by your own striving for perfection. You can only be righteous through Christ Jesus. So the good news today is you can stop striving. And you can stop making other people strive for your approval, to be right in your eyes. The question today that I'd like to ask each of us is, are you convinced, are you persuaded that Christ's righteousness is really yours through His death and resurrection? Are you convinced of that? Are you persuaded of that? Because your heart needs to be conquered by God's loving patience. God's loving patience with you helps you not to be afraid of your own weakness. God's loving patience towards you helps you to be able to come and admit, even among brothers and sisters, I messed up, I screwed up. I want to confess God. I want to confess my weakness, and I want to confess my sin before you. God's loving patience is to believe that Christ will meet me in my darkness. Christ will meet me in my weakness. Christ will meet me in my sinfulness, not to condemn me, but to love me and to restore me, because God's love heals. God's love delivers. God's love saves. And if we don't receive God's love and righteousness, if we don't believe God's patience toward us, we become the older brother in the parable of the prodigal son. The older brother is angry that the younger brother is being treated with affection by the father. That he threw a feast, put a ring on his finger. He's being treated unworthily by the father. And so the elder brother refuses to party. And he judges his father's heart. And he does so based on his own righteousness. Hey, I've been the good boy. I've been the good boy. I deserve righteousness. Poor guy. He has not known the Father's true heart of affection and joy and celebration for him. He doesn't know it. You can come to church every day for 100 years And if you're still holding on to your own righteousness and you don't know the affection of the Father, you're the elder brother, and all you can do is be angry when you see God giving that grace and mercy to someone else. So the older brother condemns the younger brother, declaring he does not deserve these things because he is unrighteous. And the elder brother's blood pressure spikes, and his mouth is filled with accusation. And the monster of impatience is demanding to be served. The root of our impatience is our own expectations, our own desires, and our own goals that have not been submitted under the lordship of Christ. When our expectations and our desires master us and raise their lordship over us, we bend to them and we think and we speak and we do things that damage ourselves, that damage relationships, and that damage the gospel. The only way to walk in patience is to receive the Father's love, is to declare God's patience today. I declare God's patience over this congregation today. I declare that God is patient with you. I declare that there is no standard for you to meet on your own because Christ has already met the standard. And by his grace and by his love, he desires to pour out into your heart that assurance that you can declare, the Father loves me, the Father is patient with me, and the Father desires to carry out his work and complete his work in my life. Patience is only established when Christ is Lord of your expectations. Lord of your expectations. When you can defer your own expectations, when you can defer them, bring them, and defer them to Jesus, and let Jesus be Lord of your expectations. How different the story of the prodigal son would have been if the elder brother could have received the grace and the mercy and the love of the Father. If he could have only known the patience of the Father toward him, instead of being there working, slaving, why doesn't anybody notice me? Why doesn't anybody notice me? Oh my gracious. If he only would have come, if he only would have come to the Father, because the Father had nothing to declare but his love for his eldest son and his patience. That's what the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart as I was reading this chapter in James. That I, Bruce Hanke, get impatient sometimes. I get impatient because I have my own agenda. I know the way it should be. And if it doesn't go that way, then I get impatient. I get angry. I get angry with my wife. I get angry with my grandkids. What's it like when you go to your grandchildren's house and I have 42 things on my mind, right? And I got to do this and I got to do that. My little three-year-old says, would you play with me today? Would you play with me today? And what rises up in me, how dare he ask that question? Doesn't he know? Doesn't he know what mission I'm on? And I feel impatience because I have not deterred. I have not brought my expectations before God's righteousness. Because if I did in that moment, God would say, Bruce, you don't have to get all those things done. I loved you before, and I'll love you after. The most important thing right now is, will you receive my love so that you can be patient with that little young man who I want to know me? And I don't want him to be impatient. I want him to come to me because God is the source of all patience. So I don't know how God might be speaking to you in this moment, but I'd like to pray and I'd like to ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, would you come and would you meet each one of us where we are? Some of us need to declare, you know what, Lord, I'm the most impatient person on the face of the earth. Some of us may need to declare, I'm selfish, I admit it, I only want to do what I want to do. Some of us may want to admit that we grumble, we murmur against others. And some of us may want to admit we can't stand it when we see someone who doesn't deserve God's grace and patience receiving it. Will you bring your own heart this morning to the Lord? Do you know this God who through his Son Jesus Christ has become patient with you because he loves you so, so much, and he understands your pain and he understands the patterns of your life? He knows that you have fallen short of his glory. And yet he comes to give you a righteousness that is not your own and can't be earned. It has been bought by the obedience of his own dear Son. You don't have to measure up. You don't have to try harder. You just need to admit. Just like Adam and Eve needed to admit, I have sinned before God, and yet he treats me with his patience and kindness and love. He measures me up to his standard, and then he sends his Son Jesus to live in me so that through Christ, I measure up to his desire for my life. Now you can admit your weakness. You can come clean with your sin. You can stop striving and being exhausted. And you can know the one who created you, redeemed you, loves you, and will continue to do the work that he has in you for his glory, for his kingdom. Holy Spirit, would you meet each one of us today, right now? Reveal yourself to us. Open the eyes of our hearts. Help us to walk by faith in the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen.